Imagine this. Okay. A child, right, gets a second chance at life, and it's all because of a liver transplant. They get to, you know, experience more birthdays, more playtime, more life,
right?
Really. It's incredible, you know, what this procedure can do. And it's really at the heart of what we're diving into today, the world of liver transplantation.
It's such a fascinating area, and honestly, maybe more complex than a lot of people realize. You know, it's not as simple as just, like, the surgery.
Right.
It's about understanding who gets a transplant, what makes a liver, like, viable, you know, to even be used for a transplant, and then what are the long-term implications for the people who receive one?
Exactly. There's so many factors involved. And that's why we're here to kind of like break it down for everyone. So whether this is a topic that like directly affects you or you're just curious about it, we've got you covered. So let's start with something that I think like when we were prepping for this really surprised me, the viability of livers. So like to be used for transplantation, you might think, like, oh, if a liver's available, it's, you know, good to go, right? But it actually turns out that a lot of livers get discarded.
Yeah, that's true. There are very specific criteria that determine whether a liver is even healthy enough to be considered for transplant. And it's not, like, as simple as just, like, you know, looking at the organ. We have one of the studies here in clinical transplantation that really digs into this. They look at things like transaminase levels, which are enzymes in the liver. And if those levels are too high, it can be a sign of damage. They also look at the pH balance, because a liver needs to have the right acidity to be able to function properly. And of course, they check if the liver is producing bile, which is essential for digestion.
So it's way more involved than just a quick visual, like, check?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This research really highlights that assessing viability is really complex, and the decisions aren't always just, like, clear-cut. For example, there's a table in the study that shows data for 21 different livers. And one liver, they label it liver, #3. Initially, it looked like it might not be viable based on some of its numbers, right?
Yeah.
But then they put it on this machine called a normothermic machine perfusion system, which basically acts like a surrogate body. It keeps the liver functioning outside the body. And guess what?
What?
It started producing bile.
Wow. So even though it, like, at first glance, it didn't look great, they were able to actually see that it could function.
Exactly. And this is a perfect example of why this research is so important. Because if we can refine these viability assessments, maybe by, you know, using technologies like this perfusion machine more often and more widely, we could potentially, like, expand that pool of usable livers. And that means shorter wait lists. And ultimately, more lives saved.
That makes so much sense. Okay,
yeah.
So we've got, you know, we've got all these livers, right, that could potentially be used. But then there's the issue of, like, you know, actually getting a transplant. And this is where things get really interesting, I think. Because you'd think that, like, you know, location, like where you live, right, wouldn't be a huge factor, right? A liver's a liver, no matter where you live. But the data kind of tells a different story, doesn't it?
Yeah, you'd think so, right. But it can be, actually. Two studies in pediatric transplantation, one looking at livers, the other at kidneys, they both, they kind of found this striking pattern. They saw that where a child lived in terms of, like, distance from a transplant center. It didn't really affect how long it took for them to get a transplant.
It affected whether they actually, like, survived long enough to get one. That's what I thought was so, like, unsettling about these findings.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it makes you think about, like, the bigger picture, right? It's not just about, like, the medical aspects of getting on a wait list and then having the surgery. It's, like, about the realities of living with a serious illness. You know, can you take time off work? Can you travel back and forth for appointments? Do you have a support system in place? Like, that's a lot to handle on top of everything else.
It is. It is. And you know, it makes you think about, you know, okay, so say someone does manage to kind of overcome those hurdles. They get the transplant, which is huge.
Yeah.
But the journey doesn't end there, does it?
No, not at all. It's like a whole other chapter begins, right? And that's where the textbook of organ transplantation, I think, offers some really eye-opening stuff. It actually goes into, like, you know, what impacts long-term survival after you have a liver transplant. And there are some, like, surprising trends, honestly. Like, for instance, age used to be seen as a major factor. And older recipients, they typically face more challenges. And they had, like, you know, statistically poor outcomes, right? But that's actually changing. Yeah. It is really encouraging, I think, because with all the advancements and, you know, medical care these days and like a greater understanding of what individual patients need, older adults are actually doing much better after transplantation than they used to, which is awesome.
So it's not like, you know, it's not just something for, like, younger patients anymore.
Exactly. It's definitely, you know, becoming more of an option for people of different ages and backgrounds, which is great. However, you know, this doesn't mean that there aren't still challenges, of course. The textbook also really highlights how obesity, which is obviously a growing problem, like, you know, worldwide, that can really impact like long-term survival after a transplant too.
Well, yeah. I mean, obesity puts a lot of extra strain on the body in general.
Yeah.
And there's an increased risk of heart problems, right? Which are already kind of a concern for transplant recipients.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It's like, and then on top of that, it's not even just about like pre-existing conditions either. It's also about the lifestyle choices that people make after a transplant. Those are really critical.
I guess now you're on like, you know, immunosuppressant drugs to prevent like organ rejection. But those drugs can also make you more susceptible to other things like infections.
Exactly. So like managing your weight, eating a healthy diet, not smoking, all of these things, they become even more important for your long-term health after you've had a transplant.
Yeah, it's like you're getting a second chance at life, but it's like a huge responsibility, you know, to really take care of yourself.
I think that's a great way to put it. It's like a gift, you know, but it comes with this responsibility to really make the most of it.
And there's another factor that surprised me, too, and it seems like such a tiny detail, but it can make a big difference. Blood type. Like this chapter in the textbook even went into how even a slight mismatch between the donor and the recipient's blood type, it can affect how well the new liver functions over time.
It's incredible, isn't it? There's like this incredible amount of detail that goes into making a transplant successful.
It really is like a whole other world, and it makes you realize like it's not just about the skill of the surgeons, which is obviously critical, but it's also about the recipient's, you know, commitment to their health afterwards. And the quality of care that they receive after the transplant and the support they have, you know, from their loved ones and their family.
Totally. It's a team effort for sure. Yeah. It takes like the medical professionals, obviously, but also the friends and family members who are like rallying around the recipient. You know, everyone has a role to play.
Yeah.
But within all of this, and while we've been talking about the challenges, there's also this amazing area of research out there that I think offers a lot of hope. And it has to do with the idea of
regrowing livers. It sounds kind of crazy, right? Like something out of a movie. You know, like we've been talking about all these challenges. And then this concept of like actually being able to grow new livers. Mm. It really blew my mind.
Yeah. It's definitely one of the most like mind-blowing areas of research out there. The textbook of organ transplantation, you know, it actually mentions this. Like the incredible progress that's being made in regenerative medicine. It's still early days, obviously. But can you imagine like a future where organ shortages are just like a thing of the past?
It's hard to even like wrap your head around that.
I know, right? It's like no more like agonizing waits, no more like, you know, heartbreaking decisions about who gets a chance at life, because there are literally enough organs for everyone who needs them.
A world where no one dies waiting for a transplant.
It's a powerful thought, isn't it? And I think it really highlights just how much potential there is in this field. Like we're really just at the beginning, I think, you know, of what's possible with liver transplants.
Yeah, it's like we're constantly learning more about how to make them even more successful, how to help people live like longer and healthier lives after they have a transplant, and potentially, like you said, how to actually create new organs.
Exactly. It's a story of hope, perseverance, and really pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
And I think, you know, for anyone who's listening, whether you're dealing with liver disease personally or you're just, you know, completely captivated by the world of medicine like me, the big takeaway here is knowledge is power. Like the more we all understand about this field, the more equipped we are to advocate for ourselves and our loved ones.
100%.
And maybe even contribute to a future where everyone gets a second chance at life.
Absolutely. And, you know, we might not all be scientists or doctors, right? But we can all learn, we can all advocate, and we can all, you know, support research in whatever ways we can.
Yeah. And you never know, that little spark of curiosity might lead to the next big breakthrough.
Exactly. Never underestimate that, right? The power of curiosity.
Well, that's it for this deep dive on liver transplantation. We covered a lot of ground today, that's for sure. We talked about the science of, like, you know, organ viability, the complexities of wait lists, and even those, like, cutting-edge advancements in regenerative medicine. It's a complicated field, there's no doubt. But hopefully you found this conversation, you know, informative and maybe even a little bit hopeful.
Definitely hopeful. And, you know, we just scratched the surface, really. There's always so much more to learn and explore.
Exactly. So until next time, everyone, keep asking those questions. Keep that curiosity alive and keep diving deep.